Again, happy Mother's Day. I think in my house, the most real part of that whole video was just that one part of, will I ever be able to use the bathroom alone again? And in my house with three boys and a husband that's very needy, the answer for my wife is no, you can't. You can't. We might as well have public restrooms in our house because you'll never pee in quiet again. It's so awesome. Thank you so much. And all joking aside, you know, one of the greatest gifts that we have are our moms. Whether your relationship with your mom is fantastic or not so great, it's interesting. Even in Scripture, you look through and Jesus and his life, both in kind of how we try to figure out, you know, Jesus being both God and man, he did not have an earthly father because his father was heavenly, but he did have a mom. And even as he left this earth, he gave instructions to his disciples to make sure that she was taken care of. And John did an excellent job of doing that. So the heart of Jesus is for sure for moms. And if your experience has been anything like mine, the heart of my mom, I want to thank you for just following Jesus. I want to thank you for doing it. And let me see how, if life isn't perfect, you still can do it. And I appreciate you showing me how to do that. My grandmother, who passed away last year, was also one of the most amazing examples to me in my life of a Jesus follower. So I have had some awesome examples of moms, and I get to be around one every day. My wife is a fantastic mom. She is smarter than me. She teaches me a lot of lessons. I see more consistency in her than I see in my own life many times, and I'm very thankful for that. This week, though, I had a chance to be in a small group with some middle school guys, and I was doing some stuff with Campus Life this week, and one of the questions that we asked, we had a little sheet of paper, and we were told to ask, were, what are some of the mom-isms that that you could come up with? Mom-isms, the statements that your moms make, the statements that even if you hear them from somebody else, they just sound like it came from your mom. So as I asked that question to this group of guys that are sitting in front of me, first hand goes up. I said, okay, mom-ism, what do you got for us? I said, remember, this is something that your mom always says, just something she gives you that's truth and wisdom. I said, what you got? He goes, quit it. Pretty fantastic momism right there. And as I went around the circle, it's, you know, like hands start, if you were watching it from the outside, you're like, man, like that group is being spiritually moved. There's testifying going on. And we were getting stuff like, clean your room. Stop it. I mean, it was just like all you could, and as a snapshot, I'm like, I started praying for their moms because I'm like, I can see what they're dealing with on a daily basis with you boys. But then they started kind of clicking in and getting it. You know, one of the kids raised his hand. He said, my mom says you are who you hang out with, which we probably heard to some extent, and that, which is true. The people that invest the most into us have effect on us. And as we were going through all that, you know, clearly you could see how moms in their lives were shaping them. And I was really interested in their answers because they are the same age as my oldest son. So I wanted to kind of see into maybe what he thought as well. We're going to be in Scripture this morning. And kind of that thought of these momisms, this effect that our moms have on us, that kind of effect is highlighted in Scripture. And I want to look at this morning because, number one, all Scripture is inspired by God. It's all for good purposes for us. So this mom highlight has got to be in here for a reason. But the way that it's in here, and I think it speaks to some of the pressure and the burden that moms tend to put on themselves. Moms are maybe the greatest fakers in all the world, right? Because moms have this unique ability to function in their day carrying burdens that a lot of us dads, we don't get. And until you have experienced caring for your child to the point where you know, okay, their world seems to be falling apart, but I've got to scoot them on to school, and I've got to then go to work and act like everything's just perfect. And that's a pressure we dads don't feel. We're like, hey, suck it up. And then we truly go in ignorance and think everything's fine, right? You know, moms are the people in the world that care so much that their heart breaks, yet still have enough of their heart to give over and over and over again. You know, moms do a great job of acting like everything's all together when everything's falling apart. Moms do a fantastic job of telling all of us that we need to have way more self-confidence in ourselves when they are probably some of the most self-conscious people that we know, because they're looking at themselves and they're feeling judged and they're judging themselves. And I think one of the biggest social and cultural failures that we have going on right now is with moms. I have fully embraced all of this mess. Like this morning, I didn't know if my microphone was on. And I don't know if you wear microphones and what you do in a daily chore, but I'm starting to get more and more to have to look around to figure out, I don't know what is there might be a microphone pack back here, there may not. This may just all be magic. I'm trying to just see if it's on, and I have I don't have a love handle, I have a love safety bar, and I'm just trying to look around it and see. But for us guys, we joke about it, this is the work that I'm putting in. But for you moms, and in all seriousness, it's the craziest thing in the world. I've never seen a culture like one we live in today that women, that your bodies change, you have kids. It's like culture is saying, hey, you can't look like a mom anymore. You have to get your body to look like you've never had kids, even if you've got 12 of them. That ain't possible. It's the pressure of culture and society for moms to be something that God's not calling them to be all the time. I mean, it's one thing to be fit, but to have to create yourself into this overly sexual being because that's what society says moms have to be. You know, they can't just be moms. Even now people joke about clothes mom jeans, right? You know what those used to just be called? Jeans, right? The jeans I'm wearing have this thing called stretch in them. It's magical. Because they fit over about a 40-pound spread, right? And as moms, you know, we want to encourage you because I don't know what it's like to be you. Wendy should probably be preaching today. She should probably be up here giving the word because she understands you better than I do. But she's teaching kids right now. So we want to spend some time today looking at a mom passage, but this passage is not just zoned in for moms. Because we all have the same walk with Jesus that we're called to live. We all have the same faith that we're supposed to ascribe to as Jesus followers. And God's calling us all to live out what we're kind of getting a peek into this morning. Now, the peek that we're getting comes through a guy named Timothy. Timothy was a unique young man. He was a really strong leader. Well, he became a strong leader. He had some real big insecurities that he had to work through for a while. He was one of Paul's closest spiritual kids, meaning that he may have led him to Christ. Most likely Timothy did come to Christ through some of Paul's missionary journeys, but Paul mentored him in his faith, you know, to the point that they were extremely, extremely close. Paul knew some details about Timothy's life, and he highlights those details in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is probably the last letter that Paul wrote, which is kind of fitting that he wrote maybe his last letter to somebody that he loved and cared about and wanted to mentor so much. And because Paul had intimate knowledge of Timothy's life, God used that to draw attention to a couple of ladies. Now, when we read this passage, I want to have an initial question in mind kind of for this morning. Because as we get into it, we got to be careful. One pitfall of this passage, of a couple passages, is, you know, moms and all of us, we could put too much responsibility on ourselves if we're not careful. Still, though, the faith that we live in Jesus Christ is important. It has effect. So I want you to think about this morning. Is my faith the faith I want for those that I am responsible for? Is the faith that I'm currently living, if I answer this as myself, is the faith that I live out on a regular basis, the accurate picture of Jesus that I'm supposed to be portraying, is my faith lived out the one that I want my sons to adopt? All of a sudden, it becomes a little bit more of a responsibility weight, right? You know, moms, if is your faith, is the Christian life that you live, if your child takes nothing but that and adopts it as their own, how satisfied would you be? How satisfied would we be if the person that we're closest to during our working hours, if they got saved and they became a Jesus follower and their life began to change, but it changed on the basis of what they saw in us, would we have a clear conscience going to and leaving work every day would that be enough? Because Paul was pretty bold. Paul stepped out there and he said, "Hey, watch me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Jesus." And I think that's where we want to be, but for most of us, myself included, while we're looking maybe up at that, maybe that's not where we're living, but we're looking up towards that, like how do we need to start thinking? And that's what we want to look at this morning. In chapter 1 in 2 Timothy, we're going to read verses 3 through 5, and this starts to point to some of the intimate knowledge that Paul had of Timothy. It says, "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day." He's telling Timothy, day hours don't go by, nighttime hours don't go by without me praying for you. That's not like the Southern, "Hey, I'm praying for you," when we really don't. This is like sincere. Some of y'all didn't know that. You didn't laugh. All right, truth moment. Everybody that tells you they're praying for you ain't really praying for you. Everybody with me? So if you want to fix that, if somebody says, "Hey, pray for me," just stop right then. Just pray right then with them right there, right? So next time you see them, say, "Hey, I prayed for you." You need to at least be accurate, okay? "Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." Here's their intimate relationship. Most likely the last time that they were physically present with each other and then they parted ways, Timothy, because Paul was such a resource and such a spiritual dad for him, probably in tears walked away from that meeting. That moved Paul's emotion to where that stuck with him. So this is the heart that he has for Timothy. That moment stuck with him, and he says, "I want to come and see you again so I can hug you, so that I can have some joy, because that moment was hard on me as your spiritual dad to walk away from you." And then he says this, just out of nowhere, he pulls these two ladies into the discussion. He says, "I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also." Now, if we read this passage just like first read over, what we see is we look at this and we may make the mistake that, okay, Timothy, you're a good Christian kid, you're a good Christian young man because your mama was a Christian and your grandma was a Christian, right? It's kind of funny. In the church world, people tend to use the generation that's behind them for certain weird justifications, right? Like, we don't have a graveyard here, but my last churches I was on staff at, we had a cemetery, right? You could go and there were plots to be buried. You would have conversations with people. They would call and they were getting near end of life or time of bereavement, and they would say, "Hey, you know, we want to see about getting a grave plot," and just automatically they would say this. Now I don't go to church there, and I'm going to get back into church, but now my mama was a Christian. Thank you. McDonald's. I mean, that's just as relevant to the conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like, we justify, like, kind of like, we want to kind of say, "You know what, man, this person was so great," almost to kind of, like, let that spirituality roll into us. That is not what Paul is doing. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Their testimony, their walk, clearly had an effect, because some of the same things that Paul sees in Timothy are reflected in the lives of his mom and in his grandmother. Certain things probably that they were really burdened toward, that they were really gifted at, he's probably seeing some of the same things. So it had an effect. But first of all, listen to the way that he says this. He said, "First of all, I saw it in your grandmother Lois." So as an isolated person, as an individual, I saw her, I met her, I saw her love for God, period. Then, because of what I saw in her, I ended up meeting her daughter. And you know what? I saw a similar faith, but it still had to be evident in her life. He didn't say, "Because I met your mom, I assumed you were a good girl." He said, "No, I saw it in her too, period." Then, Timothy, now I've observed your life and some of the same tendencies I now see in you, but I see it in you. It is your faith as well. So why is that so important? It's the tension between your faith and your Christian walk having an effect in people's life and also accepting that your Christian walk is just simply your Christian walk. I've said this here before, and we're a real big proponent of this because as parents, it's really easy to feel like you're a failure. God is the perfect father, correct? Are we all pretty much on board with that? Y'all cold? I'm freezing in here. Is it not cold? Of all the churches in America right now, people are just fanning themselves and burning up. Y'all are selfish because y'all are hating this cold. But my fingers are numb right now. Look at it like this. It's real easy as a parent to feel like you failed. God is the perfect father. If we agree on that, a third of his created beings, the angels, turned from him. And the first two people that he created, after about a split second, sinned against him. If he's the perfect father, then why do I think that my three boys better be perfect or I look like a failure as a parent? By nature, by law of averages, I hate to break it to you, but some of your kids are going to screw up. My mom's got two kids. I'm a preacher, so clearly we know it's my sister. I think we can assume that. We're in agreement. Because is my sister sitting beside her this morning? Nope. No, I'm just kidding. She goes to a different church, probably. So, and she should listen to her brother online, or she would know that I'm talking about her. But you can be the greatest Christian in the world, and that will have an effect, and we'll talk about how that will have an effect. But if your child or your spouse or your friends aren't, that still doesn't relinquish us from responsibility of being a Christian and being a Jesus follower, but it also has to remind us that we can't carry the pressure of everybody else's decisions on us. We just have to simply be faithful in what God calls us to be faithful for. And I think that's why Paul highlights these ladies in this chapter, because he sees the evidence of their walk in front of Timothy. But he also sees it as Timothy's decision as well. He describes the faith as sincere. If you translate this backwards towards the language that they would have used, sincere would translate this way: without hypocrisy. See, the same when the word hypocrite we have goes back into Greek, the word that they used that we get hypocrite from is what they used as actor or actress. Because a lot of times people that acted in plays would wear masks, and the mask would have a molded emotion, like a smiley face or a frown. And whatever they did, that mask was there to represent the emotion that they were supposed to portray. So they were called hypocrites because they were showing something that they didn't really feel. They were acting it out. Well, when Paul highlights the kind of faith that Grandma had, that Mom had, that Timothy had, he said it was sincere. It was without hypocrisy. Now, so does that mean for us to have good godly kids or good godly friends, coworkers, whatever, we got to have no hypocrisy in our life? Good luck with that. If you figure it out, write a book, we'll all buy it. In fact, write a book, we'll buy it as a church and give it away. Okay? But we're going to examine your life if you write the book, just saying. I haven't figured out yet how to live my life to have zero hypocrisy in it. Because I sin, but then I tell my kids not to. I sin, but then I preach, don't do it. Jesus will give you the strength to withstand it. But then I choose to do it. Does Paul mean that there's zero sin in these people's lives? There's zero hypocrisy? No, he's saying, I've met you, I've seen you, I've watched, I've looked. You have a testimony that is sincere. It doesn't have the evidence of hypocrisy. And that's what we're called to attain to. A walk with Jesus that is what we say it is. We act in the way that Jesus tells us to act. We speak in the way that he tells us to speak. That we don't line up just with what we say, we line up with what God's Word says. It's sincere and it has effect. But then Paul comes back around and he brings these two ladies up again. He brings these relationships up again after he really nails it down in Timothy's mind that you are a product in some ways and you have been affected in some ways by a sincere faith. But please remember, first of all, before we move on, A sincere faith does not mean that your faith has to sustain all the people you love, because it is their decision. But your sincere faith can have a great effect on the people that you're around, the people that you love. I'm a walking example of that. My prayer life changed the time that I heard my grandmother, who passed away last year, when I heard her pray after we told her that my grandfather had passed away. The way that I heard her pray in that little family room at Cone Hospital changed the way I prayed forever. But it's still up to me to pray. Does that make sense? That's the difference. The stuff that I've seen in my mom's life, her faithfulness when times were difficult, to persist and to pursue Jesus, that has had an effect on me. But I still have to persist through and pursue Jesus. And he's wanting Timothy to kind of understand and keep this balance. In 2 Timothy 3, we're going to bounce over there for just a couple of verses. Verses 14 and 15 in 2 Timothy 3. And it says this, But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now there's three things that I want to bring out from these couple verses that show us how our faith can be something that we could say that it's worth passing on, that it has effect in people's lives. The first part of this is, as Paul says it in Scripture, Paul says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He tells Timothy several times to not be ashamed. He tells Timothy right here, hey, you know the people that have raised you. You know them. And if anything, I think for us to know moms, to know what they go through, and the video that we had put all these things up on social media about the things that moms are proud at or the things that moms deal with. But there's this thing about moms where they are at so many points in life not ashamed of their kids. They're so proud of their kids. I saw Michelle post something the other day, a screenshot, when she got to talk to Austin, who's off in basic training right now. Now, Austin, I love him, but Austin's not perfect. But Austin could have been wearing dirty clothes, and he could have been, you know, singing some goofy song. He could have been goofing off when he wasn't supposed to goof off. But at that moment, it didn't matter what he was doing in that video. Michelle, I know, was going to say, I am not ashamed of this boy. I'm going to put this out there. I love this kid. When your kids are learning to use the bathroom and you buy these little bitty toilets that don't flush, think about that decision. And your little kid's sitting on the potty, and all of a sudden, they just put something in it, which, if you think about it, is just average, because everybody does that. Moms lose their mind. I still remember coming home sometimes and hearing, like, singing and dancing, and all of a sudden, I'm like, man, it's going to be a fun night in this house. Only to find out that Wendy was just so happy that one of our kids finally put something in the potty. Not ashamed, right? I was at an honor roll ceremony a couple quarters ago, and the one thing about my three sons is I believe that what you celebrate, you'll replicate, right? And one thing we've always celebrated at our house is loving on our kids and hugging them and kissing them and cuddling with them and having that connection time and the fact that my kids will give me a hug and kiss in front of all their friends, I'll defend that. I don't care how big you are, right? I love that. Well, at honor roll assembly, my oldest son comes after it. I take the picture because Wendy's not there, so I'm going to text it to her. He leans over the bleachers, gives me a hug, love you, Dad, and he heads back. All the moms turn to me because I'm now the stud. I'm the greatest man in the building because this is going on. Next kid that I know and his mom is there, he gets his award and they go over there, and they're going to take a picture, and she's looking for that hug, and all of a sudden, he's like, mm-mm, no. And she is just, she's losing it. She's like, no, you get over here. You hug me. Let me take this picture, because, like, she's proud. She wants some attention. She's not ashamed of her son, even though he's ashamed of her, because, what, he's a middle schooler, and they're ashamed of everything. There's no shame there. think about it like this. When you think of a good mom that's just never ashamed of her kids, no matter how goofy they are, how much they mess up, if we just all pursue Jesus the way they pursue their kids, that would probably increase the amount of time that we spend with Jesus. You think about how many times you know a mom will just chase their kids down to find out what's wrong. And how many times do I just pursue God with what's wrong? You know, number one, he says to Timothy, you know these ladies. You know the care that they gave you. They couldn't be ashamed. Here's why. And Timothy's mom was a Jew. Timothy's dad was a Greek. There was religious and faith tension in the house. Mom said that there is only one God. He is holy and we worship him. Dad would have said, nope, there's many gods and we need to give credit to them all because we don't know which one's in charge of zapping us this month. There was going to be, and in a culture where men win in this day and time, the faith history should have gone in dad's favor because mom should have just been quiet and submitted because they were not valued as highly as we as women should be valued and as hopefully we value them. But Timothy's faith background did not reflect dad, it reflected mom. And in a culture where she didn't have the same rights that her husband had, for him to have heard the faith and for him to have learned certain things, there could be no shame in her of her God. And we see that. The next thing is this, to pursue Jesus. There's a quote that Pastor Vance Pittman, I heard him say in a message one time to mothers, and it says this, don't allow motherhood to be the reason you cannot faithfully follow Jesus. As a mom or as a husband, as a dad, as a co-worker, as an individual, as a breathing, living person, nothing can take away our ability to be a Jesus follower. If it does and we allow that to happen, then that is taking the place of God in our life and we are sinning. I mean, you think about it, for moms, for everything that you do, so many times we see our moms pour out energy to no end, to be exhausted at the end of the day, to feel like you got nothing left for yourself or for your husband or for sometimes your kids. You pour so much out and then you're sitting there and you're just trying to get some rest or you're wrestling with some of the insecurities in your own emotions or whatever it is that's going on. And so many times moms get to the place to where even though you understand each other, I really feel like you understand each other, you still feel like you're so alone. And moms, if you're not careful, all that can start to pull time away from you that should be invested into pursuing Jesus. Like I would say like this, moms, if it would be better off if the quality of the lunch that you fix in the morning dropped if you took 5 more minutes and prayed in the morning. Right? It sometimes sacrifices, just like for all of us, we have to prioritize time with Jesus so that we're in pursuit of Him. You know, the busyness of your job, if it starts to prevent you from being a Jesus follower, we have to examine our life. If one singular relationship on earth, we pour so much into it that it pulls all of our resources to follow Jesus and to know Him better, if that pulls all that, then we have to evaluate that. You know, this statement is so true that the pursuit of Jesus is something that Timothy saw. It says that from infancy, all these things were going on. They invested time and time and time and time. The pursuit of Jesus is part of your sincere faith. Not being ashamed is part of sincere faith. The last thing is consistency. How do we have a faith that affects people, that causes something real to happen? I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read this. This is verses 5 and 7. It's not going to be up on the screen, so just listen to this. Verses 5 through 7 in Deuteronomy 6. Now, bear in mind, Timothy's mom and grandmother were Jews. They would have known this scripture. They would have said this scripture. They would have lived on this scripture, even before Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be with your heart, are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You know, how do you as a mom live sincerely, faithfully in front of your kids? How do we as Christians live sincerely and faithfully in front of other people? That verse says it, that us following Jesus has just got to become the rhythm of our life. It's just what we do and who we are. It just is the conversations that we're having. If you want to see, like, how is that going? Well, it's pretty easy. Like, when was the last time Jesus came up in a conversation? When was the last time that purposefully, and when, see, my wife is so much, like, I can't even describe how much of a better parent than she is, than me. And so for some of you, you know me, and you're judging me, and that's fine because you're accurate in your judgment. Some of you are like, yeah, clearly she's got to be more responsible, more focused, and more on time, and more authoritative. Like, she's got to be all those things. Absolutely. But she is also so much more intentional than I am at so many times. Like, I walk home, and I'll see the pantry door open, and it's just got scripture on it. And it's not verses that I don't know. But when I read it, it's like I can almost predict what's going on with my kids. Because she's just put it up there and she's talking about it and she's reading it and she's just made it a rhythm of the day. Now, she ain't perfect, but she does a really good job at that. And that's the kind of thing that's this sincere faith that comes through it. It's just part of what we go to. God's Word is a priority. And it's consistent in each thing that we do in all parts of our life. I want to go into verse 15 for just something to encourage you. Because I think for moms, sometimes you do feel like your kids are a direct reflection of you. And after years of youth ministry, I would argue with you to consider their body of work over their singular decisions. Right? I would hope that if you isolated moments of decision in my life, that would not be what you would be critiquing my mom over as compared to hopefully like years of work, you know, kind of as an average, what have I ended up being? And a lot of us feel like we've just got this huge weight because of the people that are around us. Because after all, the Bible tells us to go and he tells us to, you know, that we're sent and we're supposed to be on mission. So surely we are responsible to produce something for God. But if you notice this back in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, it says, this is what Paul says to Timothy. It says, "And you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." His mom was not ashamed. She lived in a household where she had to be bold about her faith. She pursued God. When she began her marriage, likely Jesus had not died yet. Salvation, as we preach it, was not available yet. It was just faithfully following God and following the law that he had been given. But in her lifetime, Jesus Christ passed away. He died and he was resurrected again. He paid for sin. He came back to life to give new life. And when she heard that gospel message, she took what she had been, what she knew, what she had been raised in by her mom, and she could understand the whole gospel, and she said, yes, yes to Jesus, I will follow him. And then in turn, Timothy makes the same decision. As a mom, as a co-worker, as a whatever you are, what Paul says to Timothy is, he says, you know what, you were raised consistently this way. Your mom was not ashamed. She pursued God, and she was consistent in front of you. And what that provided was an amazing position in life to where you had so many resources in your brain and in your heart bouncing around that when Jesus Christ and the gospel was given to you and presented to you, that you had an opportunity to choose Jesus. It was still your choice, but a lot had been done in front of you and before you. So as you live your life, if you're a mom this morning, whether your child ever decides to be a faithful Jesus follower or not, if you are faithful to what God's called you to do, then God says, you have done well. You have done what I've asked you to do. You have definitely got favor in my eyes. You are faithful. Now, if anybody says those kind of things to us on any day, we would love those compliments. We would gladly take that. But yet we battle failure when it comes to our kids, right? At the same way, if you live your life faithfully in front of the people that you're around, if you last through things that go on in your life faithfully in the way God's called us to live sincerely. You hear our kids laughing and yelling. Isn't that cool? I love our kids here. That was just a neat sound. I don't know, that was just a cool sound, right? Happy Mother's Day. They're pumping them full of sugar. No, I'm just kidding. If we live our lives that way, then the people that are around us that we love, we can just trust that there'll be a moment that they'll be able to decide for or against Jesus. They'll be able to decide. If they've decided to follow Jesus, then there'll be moments where they'll have to decide, do I do it or do I not? They'll be able to decide, but we've been faithful in doing all that we could for God so that He's able to help them and give them that resource in times that they have decisions. And then we have to be okay with that. Did you hear me? We have to be okay with that. One of the hardest moments every day is when my kids do tell me they love me and they give me a hug and they kiss me and I make sure I wait till all their friends are around. Is then sending them in and just going, okay, other people control you now. I have a hard time with that on some days. Because it'd be a whole lot easier just to control all their decisions. But I got to be okay that God's given me an opportunity to love them, and He loves them even more than I love them. And that I've done what I could to do that. And if you've never been that kind of mom, then you can start now. You got plenty of time God will allow you to be consistent in front of them. In fact, one of the greatest times that you'll ever live is now when they see a difference and then they see that difference become the consistency. If you're not a mom and that's just who you need to become now with who you work with or who you live with or your family or your neighbor, whoever that is, same thing goes for us too. But that's what a sincere faith is, and that's what a sincere faith will do. Timothy was a great leader, great preacher, not because his mom was a great Christian. Timothy led people and he went on missionary journeys, not because his grandmother was a great Christian. But God used who they were to mold him in ways that he probably never even noticed. So if you're going to hold your faith, if I'm going to hold my faith and my walk with Jesus Christ right now, and then hand it off to somebody, it does not determine who they will be. It can't carry that load. But it certainly in some way will have an effect. From this moment today, now looking into the future, we have an opportunity to determine how that will have effect and what that will look like. To everybody that we see, everybody that we love, everybody that we come in contact with. We have that opportunity. You know, I told you that so many things in my life, you know, God has used some amazing, amazing women to mold some things into me and to let me see some just amazing areas of faithfulness in their life. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. But please don't just hear this as a Mother's Day sermon, a Mother's Day message. Please just don't hear that, you know, this is kind of a nice story in the Bible. Great preacher came from a great mom, came from a great grandma. It's not about me because my kids definitely ain't going to be preachers. Well, mine ain't either. Don't hear it for what you're not. Don't hear it for what your life hasn't been. Hear it for the call to live so faithfully, so sincerely, without hypocrisy. That God can do more with you now and in your future than you ever, ever could think possible. Of all the people in the Bible, of all that was going on with the gospel. Here's Lois and Eunice, right? Doing whatever, probably nothing that was catching attention. And these two ladies end up in the Bible. And God's Word, where thousands of years later, we're reading about these were faithful people. Please don't underestimate what God can do with you. Please don't underestimate what God can do with you. And moms, I know you understand each other. Us as dads can't possibly know what you go through on a daily basis. But we do want to thank you for what you do. You carry the weight of the world on most days over things that some of us never even think about. And we have one day of the year where we, you know, make you some cards, or if you're at my house, you try to corral three boys and make this bench, and you kill each other in the process and try not to go to the hospital. And you give it to your wife and to their mom, and you hope for a smile. Please don't carry so much weight. Please don't see yourself as a failure. Please know that God created you for the most amazing purpose. The most amazing purpose, which is in your life, to love the people that you're around. And if, for many of you ladies, to be moms. And if you're not a mom, He's created you to be a spiritual mom to somebody. And please know that what God is going to do with you will probably be known and have more effect than you'll ever be able to write your own story for. Because in most neighborhoods, I don't know any Lois and Eunices except for these two ladies. But I'd say they're pretty known now. And I promise you will be far beyond what you ever think you will be. If you will stand back up. What we're going to do as we close is the praise band comes back up front. I just want to have a prayer right now, especially to honor so many of you moms that are here. Because without you, like that video said, we would play baseball games without jerseys, and we would not have our homework or our book bag, or we would not have thought about who we hung around with, or we would have come home much later than we did because my mom was a firm believer in this thing called a curfew, which I now know is not the worst thing in the world. Because we are so thankful for all that you do. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the women that are in this room. God, that are moms to children. God, thank you for the women in this room that are spiritual moms to so many. God, thank you that you have created this person on earth that doesn't just carry us for 9 months, but they carry us in their hearts for the rest of our lives. God, I know sometimes it's easy to be frustrated when we see kids and we deal with kids that don't have a good mom. And one of the things that we can't almost understand is how a mom just doesn't care for her kids. But God, for those that are struggling with that right now, God, we ask that you just work in their heart, work in their life, put in them a love that they can enjoy the greatest pleasure that they'll ever have on earth, which is being a mom. God, for the moms that are in here, we just ask that you do something great in their hearts. For the ones that have all the confidence in the world, we thank you for that. We ask that you just continue to encourage them. But for the rest that don't, God, we ask that you just comfort them every day, that they're reminded that the grace that they'll need for tomorrow will be there in the morning when they wake up. That their kids may do something dumb this week, but that's not on them. God, that you're calling them just to be a faithful Christian. That their greatest identity is not in being a mom, but it's in being a child of the King. And that as a Jesus follower, that's what they're here on earth to do. And if that's what they do, then God, what will need to come from them as a mom will be there. God, bless the moms that are hurting this morning. Bless the ones that are sad. Continue to give joy to the ones that are happy. But Lord, let us all be thankful for all of them, the greatest or the least. But God, for the rest of us, Lord, help us to not look at this passage and look at this day so mom-centered. But help us, God, to see today as a day where we can understand the value of consistency, the value of pursuing you, the value of not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the opportunity and all that it does to be that day after day after day. God, we won't be perfect, but in our imperfection, God, we can still be seen as having a sincere faith, a faith without hypocrisy. God, we're not hypocrites when we sin and we mess up if we repent and confess. We're just people that you've forgiven. So God, help us to understand that and help us to leave here, God, more encouraged, more changed. God, I know that my emotions have been moved, but God, I pray this isn't just an emotional, moved, and maybe sad moment at times. God, I pray this is a day of joy for us. I pray a day of joy for our moms. I pray a day of just celebration, God, for all that you've created. Lord, so as we exalt you right now, God, as all creation, as mountains point to the sky, as trees grow up, as flowers bloom facing the sun, God, I pray that just we, like all creation, will exalt you, will just point our lives to you, that everything about us will be about you. God, that we, as we either are moms raising kids, or we're people going to work tomorrow, or we're just going to exist this week, God, whatever we do in our conversations, in our works, our words, our deeds, God, that everything is pointed to Jesus. That God, that we exalt the one God, the perfect Father, that reminds us that while our kids aren't perfect, God, your love is. So God, thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to just rejoice and honor you in these moments. Let us lift our hearts and our song to you. God, if anybody needs to come forward and pray, Lord, let them know that this altar is open for that. But God, help us to worship you, whether we come forward and pray, whether we stand and sing. Lord, help our hearts be more open to you now than they've been all week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.